We just ask now that your word be a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Lord, hide it in our hearts, Lord, that we may not deviate or sin against you. Amen. I think these are going to be more, Bishop Adler used to say that all the time, random thoughts of the passing parade. But I've got just several thoughts going on and I can't seem to center on one, and every time I tried to today, someone would call and I'd have to talk to them or interrupt my time. So, you know, a lot of times you can know what God is doing on the earth and the message he's trying to get across by what's going on in your country or nation. And two things we've heard from a lot of prophetic voices, what God is speaking now is about destiny and about your identity. Just trying to confuse that and to warp that, you know, that people can actually hinder your destiny, or you must bow to this identity, right? And so we have to really stand in truth on this. And that's things we know, but I was just thinking about that today, is just, you know, what God is doing and what the enemy is really trying to attack and hit at the very core. This is a verse in Romans chapter 5. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled to him, we all shall be saved in his life. Just a great verse about our reconciliation to God and that we're continually saved by his life. Ephesians, just thinking of these verses today. The scripture about Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. And that there really is no peace apart from Jesus, right? And he gives us peace. He is our peace. And who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. And the groups then were, of course, the Jewish people and everybody else in the world, right? That God broke down. By abolishing in his very flesh on the cross the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. When he fulfilled the law, man's best effort, you know, to get to God, he broke all of that. So stuff we already know, was just, we just continually need to hear this truth. He made them all into one man and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to those who were near, peace to those who were far away. For through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and now you are of God's household. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, us, the body of Christ, and now being fitted together, now we're all growing into a holy temple, into the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Just great words here, you know. I was just really captivated again about that, and especially about us being all of God's household, that we're no longer aliens, we're no longer strangers, but our truest identity in Christ and as the body of Christ is that we're all, Christ made us all, made the world into one household in Christ, right? And when we say yes and amen to that, we are now of God's household, right? There is no other. All of our identity is in that, right? We're no longer, you know, I'm no longer German. My ancestors came over in the late 1860s and settled in southern Indiana. That's where my family's from, right? But that's not who I am. I'm now of God's household, right? And he is my identity. In Philippians, familiar verse, for our citizenship is in heaven, right? Our commonwealth, our estate, that also means our form of government. Our form of government is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our body, the humble state, into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power he has to subject all things to himself. So that's going to happen in full one day, but it's actually happening right now, right? we are citizens of the kingdom. You are an alien and strangers. So somebody sitting next to you said, do you believe in aliens? You can say yes, because you are one, right? Alien with an, you speak an alien language, right? And I was thinking, too, about the Ephesians where Jesus talks about this administration in him. Oh, here we go. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ, with a view to this new administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things upon the earth. In him we have obtained our inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Then over in chapter 3, he speaks of it again. To me, the very least of all saints, God's grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable, I always have a rough time with that word for some reason, riches of Christ, and to bring to light the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So now the very wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, right? This administration, God's wisdom, God's administration is now made known through the church, through us, right? This administration. And it's when it says to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, actually the way that reads is that you and I are rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That is God's administration. Every person that's in Christ, you are a ruler and you're an authority in the heavenly places in Christ, right? Because we know all things are subjected to him. All principalities, angels, demonic, you know, whatever, is all subject to Christ. And so as the church, God's administration on the earth right now, I think I said this Tuesday night, I was thinking of, I recently watched a remake of the movie Midway. You know, the first one back in the 70s, really good, with all these Charlton Heston, all those guys. And this one, if you want to see a really good movie, watch Midway. It's a really good movie. It was the turn of the war, you know. We were outgunned, outmaneuvered by the Japanese, you know. And after Pearl Harbor, we kind of knew they were going to make another attack. And through just, you know, which I say is the Lord, we figured out where the Japanese were coming, and they were coming to this place called Midway, which was kind of midway between Honolulu and Japan and the Japanese. So they were bringing their big fleet, and we, make a long story short, caught them by surprise and won that battle, sunk four of their aircraft carriers, right? And from then on, the U.S. had the upper hand in that war, right? I thought about that, how that kind of goes along with us, that you and I, in the body of Christ, we're all being built up together, revealing to the earth the administration or the government of God, how he does things, right? That's our inheritance, right? As read earlier, our citizenship is in heaven. That's who we are. That's our identity. Again, Hebrews chapter 11 really always encourages me when I read about Abraham. It said he was always looking to that city from above. You know, a heavenly city. He lived in tents. Never said that he was an earthly resident. He always considered himself, it says, an alien and a stranger just passing through. What a great visual demonstration in the mind. When the Lord speaks to me, everything is through pictures and visual. About us, it's so important right now that that we are, well, I said that whole thing about the Battle of Midway because one of the Japanese admirals said right after Pearl Harbor, I'm afraid we have awakened a sleeping giant. And because he had been over to the U.S. and he had seen our industrial power, right? And I just think that's a word to the church, too, because I think that what's going on and everything that we see going on around us, that there is an awakening. God is kind of awakening the church to her identity, right? We can change things by what we speak and what we declare because you and I are rulers and we're authorities in the heavenly places. And so what the Lord is saying every time I open my Bible, I fall to the same place. I can close my eyes and do it, and I fall right to John chapter 3. I mean, it's amazing. And I'll even do it. You know, I'll do this, and, you know, and it falls right there. Because the Lord is saying more than ever, guys, see what I'm doing, hear what I'm saying. You know, only speak and only do what you hear me speak and what you hear me say. Be careful that you don't get swept away and react, right? Spend your time getting at his feet, you know. So there, I know y'all all know that, but I've just been really trying to protect that time every day. And I find it just easy to, you know, easy to get there. He's speaking and showing, Lord, how do I want to pray for our country? Just show me, and he'll start showing me how to pray, what to pray, what to, you know, things to speak, things to declare. But also, to finish these random thoughts I had, I was thinking about the important thing about our destiny, each person's destiny and our identity. I was thinking about Paul, and it says in Philippians chapter 3, he was circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As of righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. And we know his story, how he was holding the coats when they were stoning Stephen, right? Yesing and amening what they were doing. Even went to different places, and when he was on his way to Damascus, when he had that experience, it was to do that, right? To go drag some people and put them to their death. And then, of course, he has that encounter with God. And don't you know, that was always in his face, that the accuser of the brethren was always trying to remind him what he used to do, who he used to be, right? And he would constantly have to battle that, knowing that he was a new creation. Well, he says this real amazing thing. We hear this a lot. And after, you know, that he may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I do press on, in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward things of God. That means the heavenly things. I'm pressing on to heavenly things of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as many as are perfect, which you are in Christ, right? Have that same attitude, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. And that word goal, of course, is where we get our word scope from the Greek, where you zero in on something, right? No, you know this, guys, but I'm just encouraging you, you know, that our God is speaking to us about our identity, about our destiny, right? And it can't be caught up into the past at all. That's a word for all of it, the body of Christ, right? That we are, that's how we do. That's the administration of God. We press on, and we forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, okay? So, and we just pray, y'all. We stand praying for our country. I'm really proud of Selma. I was telling somebody this yesterday in a meeting. This is from North Carolina. Just how proud I am of the saints in Selma and how we're reacting, everybody's reacting. If you haven't, if you know who Mike Huckabee is, he's got a show, you know, and I think he was a former governor. Saturday night, he talked about what happened with the shooting of Harrison Smith on his show. Did a wonderful job of how he presented it, how these African-Americans stopped and how they took him to the hospital and read scripture over him and prayed over him. And how Harrison responded with, I forgive. Even in the emergency room, a friend of mine was there, overheard him forgiving the guy. And even saying to his boys, you know, this wasn't a bad person, right? This is a person who did a bad thing. This really ministered to him. So, Selma, you know, we've already had one unity meeting. When did you say that other one's going to be? The 28th, which is, that's a Sunday, right? 28th, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, right where 80 meets 41 out there where you turn and go to start, right there on the right. There's going to be another unity meeting with just the body of Christ getting together, praying for what's going on in our nation right now. So, awesome. All right. Now, if you can put anything together from all those random thoughts, then God bless you. Smorgasbord. Just that you're part of the administration of God. That's what I want to get across. You are a ruler and authority in the heavenly places, who you are in Christ. And God wants us to begin to declare and speak from that place. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for the church. You know, Jesus has already done it. It's in Christ, right? He made all into one new man and established peace. And there's going to be no peace apart from him. Amen.